to our service. Today, we will deliver a powerful message about trust, friendship, and the power of influence. We hope that you receive this message, but also know that we're about service, helping others in need and praying hard for those in trouble. We should all strive to help our community. So, gather your family, open your hearts, and listen to the word.
Neighbors, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Now, Genesis is a special book because it tells us about the beginning of everything. The beginning of the world, the beginning of the Word, and the beginning of man. And the beginning of man's disobedience to God. And although man was disobedient by choice, man was persuaded by methods of deceit. Man was persuaded by a serpent who disguised himself as a friend. Someone pretending to be a friend, but wanted to merely throw chaos into the lives of Eve and her husband, Adam. Genesis 3 verses 1 through 7 reads, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." The title of today's message is, "What About Your Friends?" In this story, we have the scene set in paradise and how wonderful it must have been in the Garden of Eden. And now many people, when we talk about this passage, they blame Eve for this, but the reality is that they both did it. See, they thought the serpent was a friend. They thought the serpent had their best interests at heart, but the serpent catered to their desires. The serpent said whatever it took to get what he wanted. Genesis 3, 1 says the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. But there's a quote that goes like this: "Like a stage magician, the con artist misdirects suspicion." See, Adam and Eve remembered what God said: "Eat from this tree and you shall die." But the serpent misdirected them. "You won't die. You'll be like God." There are people in your life who will misdirect you. They will encourage you to do something that goes against God's instructions. They will mislead you. If it were me, I would quit that job. They don't appreciate you. If my man did that, I would have been left him. Serpents are approaching you. Serpents are presenting you with something that is very, very tempting. But you must remember what God said, because what was death to Adam and to Eve could be death to your career, death to your relationship, death to your prosperity. See, Adam and Eve had everything their hearts desired. They were content until the serpent told them what they didn't have. So you had a great relationship with your partner until someone told you it wasn't great. You loved your job until someone told you all the things wrong with management. You loved your Toyota Corolla until someone told you you would really look nice in a Tulsa. The serpent was crafty. The serpent knows what words are needed to get your attention. But in order to enjoy your Garden of Eden, you have to ignore the serpents and pay attention to God and focus on what God said. Because when we focus on God, when we focus on the beautiful things in the garden, the animals, the trees, the flowers, the fruits, when you stay positive and look past the thorns around the roses, you increase your lifespan, you can decrease stress and depression, and you are more equipped to handle a crisis. They had everything they needed in the Garden of Eden. And what this passage is saying is that sometimes we have everything we need and it's still not good enough. The fruit was a delight in her eyes. We're going to have friends who have flashy things, and they're going to woo us by their appearance or by their resources or by being extra kind to us. But if it's not godly, if they're not of God, if they don't include spirituality in their counsel, they're not the right friend for you. See, people who oppose God are crafty, and they can be more clever than the average. They can lure you in all kinds of ways and take you to a very dark place. A few years ago, I was invited to a dinner party, and the host constantly asked me to have some alcohol. Over and over again, I said no. I know I said no at least 7 times. And when I was leaving that house, I said to myself, I will never step foot in this house again, and I haven't. Now, maybe his persuasion would have worked in high school, but not in this millennial. Maybe it would have worked when I was younger, but I doubt it, because I've always been strong-willed, but not in the 21st century. I'm a grown man. I'm not a child. I don't need you to accept me. See, they know in what areas we are vulnerable. We even hear about victims of domestic violence who go from one abusive relationship to another. And let me make it clear, not all of them, but some. And that's because I blame the abusers, because they know what and who to look for. And then kids who get involved with making other kids' lives miserable, administering peer pressure on their colleagues. They know which kids need to belong. They know who wants to fit in so badly that they will do almost anything to be a part of the group. Here, hold these drugs for me. Steal that phone if you want to get in. Have sex with that person if you're really down. They tell you what you want to hear. But the friend who tells us what we need to hear, we cut them off because we don't believe they have our best interests at heart. We don't believe that they're in our corner. She's always telling me what I can't do. She's always bashing my boyfriends. No, she knows you can do better. She knows you deserve better. He's always telling me what I can't do. No, he's keeping you grounded. Real friends will keep you grounded. Real friends will tell you what you need to hear. It's the truth, it's wisdom, it's guidance, it's information. They are giving you facts. See, in the end, you're a better person because of that friend. In the end, you will be in a better place because of that friend who God put in your life. What is a friend? Who is a friend? The dictionary says that a friend is a person whom one has a bond of mutual affection. A true friend knows you. They're not trying to pretend. They know you. They know your likes. They know what makes you happy. They know what you can truly become. And you share a bond of mutual affection. They care about you. You care about them. That's a friend. It's a two-way relationship. If I'm always showing you how much I care, if I'm giving, and you're taking, that's not a friendship. We should be doing for one another. We should be there for each other. But the reality is this, that we have to put in work in order to earn the title of friend. They comfort you when you're down. They don't tell you to move when your emotions are high and you're likely to move hastily. They tell you what's right. They don't tell you to seek revenge on someone because it'll make you feel good for a short period of time. They tell you to forgive and forget. They tell you that they're with you no matter what, ride or die, despite your shortcomings. They don't tell you how wrong you are and that you better change or else we're no longer friends. See, despite the fact that I'm a know-it-all, I have friends. Despite the fact that I can be pushy, I have friends. Despite the fact that I have a million stories and talk too much, I have friends who are with me through thick and thin. What about your friends? God put them in your life for a reason. And sometimes that reason is for a season, but the point is, God put them in your life. But then there are people who they're about nothing but chaos and they're coming after you. And they're clever. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Matthew 7:15 says, beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are savage wolves. What a powerful and vivid description. Savage wolves. And peer pressure is just what the phrase says, pressure. They put the pressure on you, but we have to be strong enough to resist and we have to be strong enough to stand still through pressure. Hey, and I have something better than that. Don't associate with people who are up to no good. You see, they do what Satan did to Adam and Eve. Satan insinuated doubt about the word of God. Proverbs 4:14-15 says, don't do as the wicked do, and don't follow the path of evildoers. Don't even think about it. Don't go that way. Turn away and keep moving. And what this all means is that you have to be strong. But no matter how strong you are, you can't do it alone. See, when Satan was conversing with Eve, she believed that she was outside the presence of God. I'm going to say this again. When Satan was conversing with Eve, She believed that she was outside the presence of God. So in order to resist, you need to be and recognize that you're in the presence of God. You have to be strong in your faith. You need God. We need God, because the pressure can become too much. But when you have true friends, when you have a vessel of God, nothing anyone else says matter. And no matter what they say or do, no matter what that enemy says or does, you'll know that God is with you. So when they call you a nerd, when they call you corny, when they call you different and awkward, and when they say you're not one of us, when they say you're not down, when they say you have to do this to be one of us, you have strength in knowing that when you're in the presence of God, you will be an overcomer. You will laugh at peer pressure. You will laugh when they offer you something they think is better. When Satan told Adam and Eve they would be like God, he moved them. But when you trust God, no one can move you. To make a difference, you have to be different. And you can't be different when you're a follower or a man. You can't be different if you care about what people say. You can't be different when you choose the wrong people as your friends. People can't get out of the bed. They're down and depressed. They can't go to school or work because they've been ostracized. They talked about Jesus. They crucified Jesus. Why would you think that everyone would love you? Did you really think everyone would invite you in their circle? But remember this, some invite you in their circle, but for nefarious reasons. I want you to know that people see something in you, and they know with God you can do great things. That's why they sabotage your growth. I've seen people with messed up situations do messy things to others because they want them to be a mess too. The enemy, not your friends. They know how to touch your pride. They know how to cater or manipulate the ego. The Bible says fear, suffering, guilt, and death all came into play in this passage. And what happens when those so-called friends pressure us to do something we know is wrong? Our emotions become overwhelmed with fear, suffering, and guilt. All of this comes into play. But get this, despite the pressure, despite the invitation to be in the in crowd, the blame falls with you. The blame falls with me. The blame falls with us. But Adam blamed God. When God called him out, he said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me made me do it." When God called Eve out, she blamed the serpent. And she said, "The snake tricked me, so I ate it." It's no different now. "The devil made me do it," is what we hear. Or we hear, "My friends dared me." Or is, "I wanted them to be like me." I remember when my mom used to say, "I don't care what your friends did. I'm not their mama. If they jumped off of a bridge with you, you've been accepted by your shaky friends, but at what cost? You've been accepted by your so-called friends, but you're also swallowed by the world. You've been accepted by your friends, but separated from God. True friends bring you closer to God. They show you God's love. True friends accept you for who you are. You can be different around true friends. And the serpent is no stranger to a godly man, but still it's impossible to resist the pressure when God isn't with you. Man's pride can lead us to a life of destruction. See, the serpent wants us to want him. The serpent wants us to give in to the pressure of your friends who are doing his work. Back in the 80s, there was a saying from Nancy Reagan. What did she say? Just say no. Because if you stay strong, you will be rewarded. And if you say no when they pressure you, you will be in a position to lead under God's authority. See, at the end of the day, I can have a great podcast and all these special guests and exciting panel discussions and more followers than, I don't know if I want to say Taylor Swift or Beyonce, but you know what I mean. But at the end of the day, if I don't have a strong relationship with God, if I can be persuaded by my peers, if I'm not giving them counsel, if I'm not influencing them instead of them influencing me, then it's all in vain. It's all in vain. It's all in vain. So, what about your friends? What about your friends? What about your friends? Thank you for joining us this week. And remember, if you have a prayer request, I have prayer warriors who are ready to pray for you. And also, too, if you have questions, need advice, or just want to comment on our program, email us at theunknownpreacherla@gmail.com. That's theunknownpreacherla@gmail.com. And remember, if you want to make a difference, you have to be different. God bless. This episode is brought to you by the Black Farmers Hub and by Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores. Both serve as a platform for Black farmers and food and beverage makers, inspired by their family legacies, with a mission to provide a platform for Black and brown farmers. Support their work by visiting thesweeterjuice.com as they consistently advocate for food sovereignty and assist with alleviating food apartheid. The Black Farmers Hub and Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores. This episode is brought to you by TAA Digital Mobile. TAA provides business growth, marketing plans, e-branding development, and sales and promotion. The TAA Digital Mobile. It's the unknown preacher. It's the unknown.